Hey guys, welcome back to Kyler Burrell's Unedited Podcast, episode number 120. you know, gonna obviously talk about the NFL to start. We will kick off that with a recap of Wildcard Weekend and some divisional round preview and predictions. We'll talk a little bit about a few teams that were eliminated, what does their offseason look like, and stuff like that. After that, I'm gonna get into my updated Premier League table prediction as of mid-January, where I think it'll finish, obviously, top 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 through 17, and then who will be relegated. After that, we will get into my 10.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. This will be the 10th week of game predictions, my second with Fee. So, obviously, what I'll do is I'm keeping track of what my overall record is, and I'll also keep track of my record just versus Fee since we started this a little competition here back and forth. So we'll get into the game picks for this week. Actually, a decent amount of games. Really good Saturday slate. And a good Tuesday slate here in Tuesday night. And then we'll get into our KU spread picks at the end. Then we're going to dive into the UFC recap of UFC Fight Night. Ankalaev, Walker. Also, we'll talk about a boxing announcement that was made right before we go into UFC. We'll do what's next for that. We'll do a couple headlines and discussions where we'll look at more fights that are booked, looking at the future cards. They're getting stacked. And then we're going to get into UFC 297, preview the card, my predictions, and the odds on the fight. And then my 11.0 NFL mock draft, which will be I kind of like to throw these in, a little challenge one. This will be no draft pick trades. It'll just be one round, and six quarterbacks must go round one. I like throwing these in there. I'll do somewhere, I think, also where maybe you only get three quarterbacks in round one and you have a quarterback slide or something like that as well. I love throwing a little challenge in there just to spice up the mocks a little. But we'll start in the NFL. We'll recap Wildcard Weekend. We'll go as the games were played. So the first one was Texans and Flacco Magic. They routed the Browns 45-14. He had two picks in a span of four plays. Or was it two pick sixes? I can't remember. I know he threw one pick six. So there was a long return. I think they got another one too, but man, the Texans, they are set up for the future, but they are also ready now. Obviously a tough game in the divisional round, traveling to Baltimore. That's a tough place to play. You know, you're not in your home dome or anything like that. You're going to be outside. It's going to be cold probably. That'll be an interesting challenge for them, but what a season for them, and really what a season for the Browns, you know? I mean, franchise quarterback plays, in my opinion, was playing the best ball he had played the whole season in that game, and that he broke his shoulder. And then Flacco comes in and still keeps them afloat. I thought that I predicted them to win that game. They were actually, I had a rough, my bracket is completely chalked. I mean, I have my Super Bowl pick eliminated. I have two teams that I picked to go to the conference title eliminated as well. So I have three of my final four eliminated in the round one, but that's the way she goes when you pick upsets and stuff. Except the Browns really wasn't an upset pick. They were favored. But yeah, what a win for the Texans. Super happy for their franchise. D'Amico Ryans, you know, unbelievable job he's done. He's just got them motivated, and they play with a different intensity than they have in a long time. And they found their quarterback of the future. I think there's arguments that he's already a top five quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, at the end of the year, I always do my, you know, top 32 starting quarterbacks ranking. So we'll see where he ends up. But he's 100% in the top 10. And he'll have an argument for top 5. Chiefs defense dominates Dolphins offense in the cold, win 26-7. And, you know, I say the Chiefs defense dominated. I thought their offense looked a lot better. It actually looked good. It wasn't what the Chiefs have been in the past. But it actually looked good. It was actually a really good offense performance in those conditions too. It was a good performance. And again, a big time game. Mahomes, Allen. This time, Mahomes has to go to Buffalo. So we'll see what happens there. That's a huge game though. Packers. Here we go. Packers stunned my Dallas Cowboys. They beat their ass 48-32. Okay, I don't want to call this. Fee asked me this. Is this the most heartbreaking or deflated? It's not the most heartbreaking loss because we've had some ones that have been closer and they stung more. You know, you can go back to Rodgers' ball down the sideline to Richard Rodgers. the Garoppolo loss, Romo back in the day, Romo dropping the field goal. He ball slipped out of his hands as he's holding for the game-winning field goal. The Dez no catch. Those are more heartbreaking. This was the most disappointing. Just because I felt that this Cowboys team, it was, in my opinion, in my lifetime of watching a Cowboys team, when it comes to a complete football team, offense, defense, special teams, this was the best one I've seen. And it was just disappointing, you know, to 27-0 down at home to the Packers, a team that just barely gets in the playoffs. Albeit, don't get me wrong, the Packers played tremendous football, and it looks like Jordan Love is their future. But it was a deflating, disappointing. It was the most disappointing loss of my lifetime, 100%. Round one at home, the Eagles gift you the 2 seed. you get 2 home games. You should be playing 2 home games, and then possibly an NFC title game. I'm not going to talk about the roster, but I will say. I was never a and people know this, for them have listened to the podcast. I was never a fan of the hire of Mike McCarthy. I will say he's done well, but this is now 3 straight seasons of really good football in the regular season and then just shit in the bed in the postseason. I think it's he was outcoached. He was outcoached by Matt LaFleur. That was evident. I didn't understand what Dan Quinn was doing. Running a lot of zone when that's not what we play. We're a man-to-man team. It worked all year, and then we go to zone a lot in the first round of the playoffs. It's like he's just trying to get too cute. I don't know if they're like, maybe we'll run zone and we'll throw off the Packers. Well, when you don't run zone a lot, sometimes your team has blown coverages, and we did a lot. I'd rather be running man-to-man and us get beat down the field than us try to get cute and try to throw the Packers off guard by running zone and do that. I'd much rather stick to our guns and lose that way. I thought McCarthy's play calling was not great in the first half. I also thought the players, though, did not come out really. I don't know if they just thought the home environment, that it wouldn't matter, that we'd find a way to win no matter what. But you can't get down 27-0 no matter who you're playing. I know people was, you know, it was 27-7 and a half and everyone was like, oh, Jags, Chargers. But when your defense playing like that and then your offense isn't really playing good, sure, the – sorry about that. Oh, let me get a drink real quick. Fucking throat. Scratchy. But when your defense plays like that, you can't get down by that much. Yeah, the numbers look good at the end of the game because we, you know – Packers were just like, I mean, the game was over, and yeah, we were just getting empty yards, basically. Garbage time yards. But yeah, at this point, I would move on from McCarthy personally, especially with some of the coaching candidates that are out there. Bill Belichick be my first option. Ben Johnson, the Lions OC, would be my another option, and Mike Vrabel is out there, as well as Jim Harbaugh is out there. So, yeah, I think it's time to move on. You can't just shit the bed 3 straight years. In the postseason and get away with it, in my opinion. I know people are going to say, well, you've had success. Yeah. The Cowboys roster is unbelievable. Of course they're going to have success in the regular season. They're going to win more games than they lose in the regular season. But when it gets to the playoffs, we shit the bed too many times. It's time to move on. And we'll talk about the Cowboys roster. As we start each week, I'll start talking about, you know, some teams' offseason plans and what they should do and stuff like that. But we'll just talk about how bad the Cowboys were right there and then, you know, how I think McCarthy should go. Lions get first playoff win in 30-plus years. Hang on to beat Stafford and the Rams 24-23. I mean, I picked the Rams, of course, to go to the NFC title. But I'm very happy for Detroit. That's cool for them. Get their first playoff win. 32 years, I think it was. So good for Jared Goff, Dan Campbell, and the whole Lions organization to get a win there. Bills handled the Steelers today, 31-17. Got a little dicey at one point. I mean, got to 24-17, I think. But you knew the Bills weren't going to lose that game. But a big one coming Sunday, I think it is. Eagles season ends, dominated by Buccaneers, 32-9. You know, as I guess a little bit of joy that, you know, the Cowboys lost, but at least the Eagles got their ass whooped too. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Are they going to keep Sirianni? I have a feeling they might move on. You know, the O-line is older. Kelsey kind of, he was tearing up, getting emotional on the sideline, guessing that was his last game. A.J. Brown's kind of had a – seems to have had a falling out with the team in a way. It'll be an interesting offseason in the NFC East. For all teams, really. Redskins looking for a quarterback. What are the Giants going to do? And then the two top dogs, even, what are they going to do? All right, but let's get into divisional round. Preview and predictions. NFC, Bucks at Lions. Great win by the Bucks. I mean, they played really well tonight. but I do just think the Lions are a better football team at home, too. I'm going to take the Lions 31-20 over the Bucks to get to the NFC title. Packers at Niners. Again, I don't think the Packers are good. I think the Cowboys really played like – they played good, but I also think the Cowboys played like shit, and I don't think they're ready for the Niners. I'm going to go Niners 34-17. I really don't think it's close. I think the Niners will handle business. Chiefs at Bills. I think, in my opinion now, I would pick the winner of this game to win the Super Bowl. I am going to go Chiefs on the road. They're 26-23. I'm going to go with Mahomes. First road playoff game. He gets it done. I think the Chiefs get it, and they go to the AFC title. And they will be taking on the Texans or the Ravens. It is obviously in Baltimore. I think Houston puts up a fight, but I think Baltimore takes care of business 24-17. So you get Chiefs, Ravens, 49ers, Lions is my pick right now. Obviously, I have not been good at picking, so I pick opposite of what I pick. I was not very good picking this week. So let's get into an updated Premier League table predictions as of mid-January. We'll start at the bottom here. Relegated. I'm going to stick with the three teams that got promoted last year. I'm going to go Sheffield 20th, Luton 19th. I think Burnley makes a little bit of a run, but it's not enough. They'll finish 18th. 17 through 8, so just, you know, mid-table teams miss out on European competition. Nottingham Forest 17th, Everton 16th, Brentford 15th, Bournemouth 14th. Fulham 13th, Crystal Palace 12th, Wolves 11th, West Ham 10th, Brighton 9th, and Newcastle 8th for me. So the teams that I have getting into European competition, so Chelsea, I'd have them go into the Conference League in 7th, Man United in 6th, go into the Europa League, and Tottenham in 5th go into the Europa League as well. So my team's finishing in... Champions League position, Aston Villa. I think they do continue their run. I think they're so well coached. I love their team. They're fun to watch as well. Arsenal third. This is always the tough one. my brain said Man City. My heart said Liverpool. I went with my heart. I went City second, Liverpool first. Would I be shocked if City... wins the league? No, I would not. They get Kevin De Bruyne back, and you really wish when they had their down period, you know, kind of went through a little bit of a slump, that if you were Liverpool or even Arsenal, that you could have separated a little more. I think Liverpool is more built because of their mentality to give City a fight, but I do think that it's going to be tough for Liverpool to do it, but I think that they can do it. If there's a team that can hold off City, it is Liverpool. So that's why I'm going to go with my heart and take Liverpool. So let's get into my 10.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. At number one, I still kept Purdue. Even though they had lost Nebraska, I still think Purdue's the number one team. I went UConn up to second. They're 14-2. Purdue's 15-2. Third, I went North Carolina. I think North Carolina's really good. I've said it a bunch of times to, you know, buddies just talking ball. I think the Caleb Love leaving was the best thing for them. They play so much better as a team. I love North Carolina this year. Kansas, I did drop a spot or a couple spots to four. I know they beat Oklahoma at home, a top 10 team at the time, but you can't overlook that UCF loss. That was just a terrible, terrible loss for the University of Kansas. Fuck, guys. Sorry about that. Five, Kentucky. I know they've lost A&M, but I still love Kentucky. They're 12-3. Duke up to 6 at 13-3. 7, Houston at 14-2. What did I say? It's going to be a rude awakening for Houston. Going through the gauntlet of the Big 12 and the road Big 12 games especially. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're as great as people thought they were, though. There was a lot of people saying out there that they're the best team in the Big 12, hands down, and they're going to win the Big 12. Albeit they played two good teams, but on the road, again, on the road, it's tough. But yeah, I still have them at 7. Baylor up to 8. Memphis at 9. Auburn at 10. Wisconsin 11. Arizona 12. Tennessee down to 13. Utah State 16-1. I like 13. They're at 14. Dayton up to 15 for me. Creighton at 16. Next five out, Ole Miss, South Carolina, San Diego State, Oklahoma, and Texas are my next five out. So those are my 10.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. So now we'll get into Fee versus me. College basketball big game picks of the week. So my overall record now is 54-18. I went 5-3 last week, so that's my record against Fee, 5-3. He went 7-1. He lost the first game. He picked Houston to beat Iowa State and had Houston losing to TCU. We flipped. I had Iowa State, and then I had Houston beating TCU. A lot of games, like I said, packed. It's kind of going to be a little boring run here because I think we only differ on one. Baylor at Kansas State. We're both going Kansas State. Upset alert here for Baylor. I think Kansas State is a better team than they've shown. And I don't know why. I guess we both think upset. Florida at Tennessee. We're both going Tennessee. Iowa State at BYU. We're both going Iowa State. Creighton at UConn. We're both going UConn. And like I said, Saturday is a great slate. Five games we're picking. Baylor at Texas. This is where we differ. I'm going the double loss for Baylor, as Houston did last week. I'm going the double loss for Baylor. I feel like they haven't played great. They've kind of snuck by some games. So I'm going to go Texas. He's taking Baylor. Iowa State at TCU. We're both taking TCU. Marquette at St. John's. We're going with the upset of St. John's over Marquette. Alabama at Tennessee. We're both going Tennessee. And then Ole Miss at Auburn. Team we really love, Auburn. We're very high on them. We're both going Auburn. KU spread picks. I'm 1-1. He's 0-2. Obviously, we both lost to UCF. I picked KU over OU. He took OU. This one is KU minus 6.5 at Oklahoma State. He is taking Oklahoma State. I'm taking KU to cover the 6.5 on the road at Oklahoma State. All right. Like I said, might not be as long today, but just diving into the main topics, in my opinion. Now we're into UFC. Ankalaev Walker 2. Good. It was a good fight night, actually, for an Apex card. It was actually pretty good. Ankalaev KOs Walker in round 2. Boy, did he look good. He looked calm, composed. Didn't fall for really any of the shenanigans that Walker was trying to pull and was able to get him out of there. I'm guessing he's got to be, you know, he probably doesn't have to fight. Pereira said he's fighting Jamal Hill. So that will happen. I would guess that he gets the winner for sure. What a fighter. I think he's the most well-rounded fighter in the division. I think he'll end up getting the belt. But we can't. Either matchup's great. Jim Miller gets round 3 submission win over Gabriel Benitez. I mean, another great win for Jim Miller. My goodness. Guy just keeps trucking along. He wants to fight at UFC 300 because he's... Crazy as it sounds, he's fought at UFC 100 and 200, and he could fight at UFC 300. It's just incredible that that could happen. I hope they can make that happen. That'd be awesome. Happy for Jim Miller. Big win for him. Mario Bautista gets a really nice unanimous decision win over Ricky Simone. He just outclassed him, in my opinion. He was just a lot better fighter. I like Mario Bautista. Tough, tough fighter. Really looking forward to see his next fight. Bruno Ferreira, a guy I really like. He's kind of small for the middleweight division, but gets a first-round KO, brutal KO over Phil Hawes. What a win for Bruno Ferreira. Love watching him fight. He's exciting. He goes after it. He throws everything in every punch, and he's got some power. So let's go into what's next for some of these fighters. Bruno Ferreira, I went Anthony Hernandez, who's coming off a win over Edmund Shabazian. I think that's a good matchup. I like that fight a lot. For Mario Bautista, I went Chris Gutierrez. He rebounded and got a win. I think that's just, again, another really good fight. Jim Miller, you know, Paul Felder came in and called him out for UFC 300. I also like the Matt Brown one. I was watching my favorite combat sports podcast, Morning Combat, and Brian Campbell, he said, well, what about Paddy Pimblett? I don't mind that either. That's a good one. You know, if you're Pimblett, beat Ferguson, why not try to add another legend to your resume? And for Jim Miller, I mean, derail the hype, you know? That'd be a great one as well. For Johnny Walker, yeah, obviously it's a hiccup here. I think Volkan Ozdemir is a tremendous matchup. You just know both on the feet. It's going to be exciting. Somebody's probably getting knocked out. I love that fight. And like I said, for Magomed and Goliath, if Jamal Hill's not ready, I think they do Alex Pereira next. It depends how long Jamal Hill's still out. But if not, obviously, I think he gets the winner of Pereira Hill. There's really no one for him to fight right now currently that makes sense for him. You know, even if you know, Prochazka gets a win coming up, or, you know, you got Rakic versus, if Rakic beats Blachowicz, I just don't think it makes sense for him, you know? I think maybe those guys, you know, winners of, the, you know, maybe Jiří versus Rakic, if they both win, they fight each other for the next number one contender. But I think Ankalaev deserves to fight for the title next. So some headlines and discussions. Let's get into it. Let's look at some UFC cards that are up and coming. These cards are just right now really, really stacked, which I love. I mean, you can't be upset. Obviously, we'll get into the next one. Let's see. I don't think this one has. You got Dalidze versus Imavov, main event of a fight night. That'll be at the Apex. Not a great card, let's be honest. This fight, I'm very intrigued. I love Joe Pyfer. He's exciting. He's getting a massive step up in competition fighting Jack Hermanson. This is also at the Apex, but this card's a little better. You got Dan Ige and Lerone Murphy as well. It's a little better, but these Apex cards are not great, let's be honest. UFC 298, great card. Volkanovski defending his featherweight title against Topuria. You got Jeff Neal versus Ian Garry. Marab versus Cejudo. Tatiana Suarez back against Amanda Lemos. Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa. What a card. That's a great card at 298. 297 is definitely the weaker pay-per-view to kick off. UFC Fight Night. Oh, yeah, now it's Moreno versus Royval 2 in the main event. Al-Bazi had to pull out with an injury. And you also have Yair Ortega 2 in the co-main event. Is that in Mexico City? It is. That's in Mexico City, so that's a sick card. Nothing really for UFC Fight Night 238, but then you got 299. This is, I don't know how they can top this card. I don't know how they can top this card with, like, the main card is probably going to be, you got O'Malley Vera as the main event, Poirier versus Benoit St. Denis, which was recently announced, in the co-main, 5 rounds. The other fights that are going to be on the main card are Gilbert Burns, Jack De La Maddalena, I mean, unbelievable fight, Kevin Holland versus the debuting Michael Venom Page, unreal. I think they're going to, that will probably open it, and you're also going to have Curtis Blaydes, Jalton Almeida on the main card. But look, the co-main, the prelims, you're probably going to have Peter Yang, Song Yadong, main eventing the prelims. You have Macy Barber, Caitlin Chukagian, Matheus Gamrot versus RDA, Pedro Munoz, Kyler Phillips, and Michel Pereira versus Mikhail Olaszczyk. That is, I don't know how 300 can top that card. I don't know how it can. I just don't think it can. Another fight that was just announced, Tybura versus Tuivasa at the Apex on a fight night. Another one that was recently announced, Hibas versus Rose Namajunas at flyweight. That's a really good fight. Another one, Sean Brady, Vicente Luque, also on this card. This is in New Jersey. I would have to imagine this could be Chris Weidman's retirement fight. He's fighting Bruno Silva. You have Blanchfield, Firo, number one contenders fight in the flyweight division. You have Andre Petrovsky against Jacob Malkin. Dom Reyes back against Carlos Olberg. That fight night's looking to be very good. And then Marvin Vettori, Brendan Allen booked for UFC Fight Night at the Apex. Shitty that's on the Apex, but that's a great fight. They also have Dumont versus Durandamy on the card. UFC 300, I don't know, has there been any fights booked? There has been some fights planned already. They're going to stack this card, but these fights already, tremendous card building. John Wiley versus Yan Xiaonan for the women's strawweight title. Charles Oliveira versus Sarukian, number one contender fight. Jiří Prochazka versus... Oh, whoa, whoa. Something happened. I thought Jiří was fighting somebody else. So now it's Jiří versus Alexander Rakic. Oh, my goodness. Rakic was supposed to be fighting Blachowicz. What a fight. Calvin Kattar, Aljamain moving up to featherweight. Bo Nickel, Cody Brundage. And then Figueiredo Garbrandt, my guy Cody. Tough fight, but can't wait for that one. Man, I thought there was... Oh, here we go. Yeah. I guess so. Oh, yeah, because Błachowicz got hurt, and I'm guessing they just switched up. Who was Jury supposed to be... He was supposed to be fighting somebody else. What a card, though, already for UFC 300 at the T-Mobile in Vegas. But let's get into UFC 297 this weekend. Preview of the card. Top of the bill. Sean Strickland coming off, my opinion, was upset of the year, defeating Israel Adesanya via decision and just dominating him for five rounds. He's going to take on Dricus du Plessis for the belt. This is going to be an awesome fight. Cannot wait. You would think a lot of stand-up, but DDP, big strong guy, he might try to wrestle. He wrestled Whitaker a bit. He might try to use the wrestling. I think Strickland has the advantage on the feet. I think his boxing's more cleaner. But that's a great fight. Women's bantamweight title bout. You know, the women's bantamweight division is the worst division in the UFC. Raquel Pennington versus Mayra Bueno Silva. Not going to lie, not really diving into it. The division's poor. But one of these ladies is going to walk out champion in the UFC, which is, I never thought Pennington or Bueno Silva would ever get a belt. Guess it took Nunes retiring and Juliana Pena being hurt. It's not a great pay-per-view, though. Neil Magny, Mike Mallett in the welterweight division. I like Mallett's chances. Utilize his wrestling and submission game. Chris Curtis, Marc-Andre Barrialt should be a really good fight. And then, in my opinion, the second-best fight easily on the card is Arnold Allen, Movsar, Evloev. Movsar is one of my favorite fighters. That's an outstanding fight. That's going to open up the pay-per-view, it sounds like, but that's easily the second-best fight on the card. So some predictions, and then I'll check the odds. Like I said, I don't check the odds till after I do my predictions. I like to see how many guys that I have, how many favorites I picked. I pick the upsets. All right, well, I'm going Evloev decision over Arnold Allen. Chris Curtis, round two, KO, TKO over Marc-Andre Barrialt. Mike Mallett, round two, submission over Magny. I'm going to go Bueno Silva, round three submission to win the vacant women's bantamweight title over Pennington. And I'm going to go Sean Strickland via decision over Dricus du Plessis. I think setting up a giant rematch with Israel Adesanya, maybe at UFC 300. That will be interesting. So let's look at the odds. Arnold Allen, Evloev. I'll do FanDuel because I don't see ESPN bet. Evloev minus 184 to Arnold Allen's plus 142. About right. I think Evloev should be favored. Maybe a little too much. He's maybe a little too much favored, but I agree with that. Chris Curtis minus 188 to Barrialt's plus 146. So I picked two favorites. Okay. Wow. Mike Mallett's minus 340 against Magny's 250. Now I think Mallett's going to win, but if you're liking a live dog, Neil Magny at plus 250 with Mike Mallett taking a giant step up in competition is not a bad bet at all. Mayra Bueno Silva is minus 184 to Pennington's 142. That seems about right. And Strickland's the favorite, minus 138 to plus 108. I don't know if he was the favorite when it opened. Let's see if we can find those odds. I want to say that I thought du Plessis, Strickland versus du Plessis opening odds, because I feel like I want to say I thought no, Strickland did open as a favorite. Okay, I thought du Plessis opened as a favorite. Okay, well, that's interesting. I like Strickland though. Yeah, but I've thought the du Plessis, I thought he opened his favorite, but I guess maybe he didn't. But yeah, that's UFC 297. Cannot wait for that card Saturday, live on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Make sure you get that. And to end it, of course, 11.0 NFL mock draft. No draft pick trade. Six quarterbacks must go. With the first overall pick, I do have the Chicago Bears selecting Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. I think they trade Justin Fields and reset the quarterback clock, and I think they move him to Atlanta. I think Atlanta is going to be the team that gets him. I'm not going to mock that Fields would be traded for the eighth overall pick. That is rumored to be the case, which I think is wild. But if you look at it, Would you rather have Fields, if you're Atlanta, right? And especially, let's say, Daniels, May, and Caleb Williams all go in the top five. You're not going to get Daniels, May, or Williams. Would I rather have Justin Fields over Penix, Bo Nix, or J.J. McCarthy? I 100% would. I 100% would. That's I got Caleb Williams going to the Bears. Two, Redskins taking Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. And the Patriots taking Jaden Daniels, quarterback at LSU. So quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. For me, Cardinals, in my opinion, he is the second best prospect in this draft, right behind Caleb Williams. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State, to the Cardinals at 4. Easy pick for them. Chargers at 5 go Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. My opinion, my number 3 overall prospect in this class. 6, Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU, to the Giants. I love this pick for the Giants. Get Danny Jones some help. Titans go Olu Fashanu at 7, the offensive tackle out of Penn State. Protect Will Levis. Falcons at 8. So, again, I have them. It's a no draft pick trades mock draft, but I do have them getting Justin Fields. So I'm going to go edge rusher Dallas Turner out of Alabama. I think he's the best edge rusher in the class and arguably is a top 5, top 7 prospect in this class. Because I don't think, even though Jaden Daniels going 3, I don't think he's a top 10 overall prospect in this class. Bears at 9, they took their quarterback. They reset the quarterback clock. Now they're going to get him even more weapons than having DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. They're going to get him Romo Dunes, wide receiver out of Washington, to the Bears at 9. At 10, Jets. You gotta build the O-line. Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame at 10 to the Jets. Vikings at 11. This could have been the next quarterback, but I think they re-sign Cousins and they wait till next year's draft. Because I actually think what's crazy is I thought next year's draft was going to be not great with quarterbacks, but I think you're going to have top two, or you're going to have three guys, and maybe even more if I'm missing somebody. You're going to have Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, and Carson Beck. I think three really good quarterback prospects as well. Maybe the Vikings make a move next year for a quarterback. But I'm going to go on the defense side at defensive back. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama. Broncos at 12, fourth quarterback to go. Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. I think Sean Payton would love him. The way he plays, I think Sean Payton would just really like Michael Penix. Raiders at 13, the fifth quarterback off the board, Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. Again, we'll get into, as we get closer to the draft, I'll do draft grades and where do I have, or not draft grades, player grades, where do I have them going, like actual, like right now I'd have Caleb Williams is the number one, he's the number one prospect in the draft. Drake May, he's a top 5-6 prospect. Jaden Daniels to me is a mid to late first rounder. Penix is a late to early, a late first, early second. I think Bo Nix is probably a late second, and I think we'll get to the next guy after. But Saints at 14, they're going to go Latu, edge out of UCLA. Great pick here. They need help at edge. Need a guy that can get some sacks. Great pick. 15, the Colts. You could go wide receiver, but I would love to help the secondary. Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa at 15. You can move him all over the field, and that's why I like him. He's so versatile. I think it's a great pick for the Colts. 16, Seattle. This is my sixth quarterback. J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. I have a fourth to fifth round grade on him, though. But again, this is the challenge, and I do think he's the sixth best quarterback in this class. Here, we can go real quick. My QB rankings right now. Williams 1, Drake May 2, Daniels 3, Penix 4, Bo Nix 5, McCarthy 6, Spencer Rattler 7, Michael Pratt 8, Jordan Travis 9, Joe Milton at 10. But again, it's the challenge, and so I think Seattle, they gave Geno a 3-year deal, but I do think they're going to look for a quarterback. Maybe, again, this is a challenge. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's going to be picked in the first round, but, you know, I think the Seahawks won't draft the quarterback in round 1, but I do think this was a team that you could, if they really liked him, and they said, screw it, we're going to take him, we're going to let him sit behind Geno for a year, maybe two, and then we'll see what happens. Jaguars at 17 go J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. They need to protect Trevor Lawrence. Bengals at 18 get Keon Coleman, wide receiver of Florida State. This is my T. Higgins replacement. I think T. Higgins is probably going to walk, and they'll look to replace T. Higgins with a big body like Keon Coleman. Steelers at 19. We're going to go with Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. again, whoever the quarterback is, probably going to be Pickett. You got to protect him more. Their defense is solid. They need to protect him. Rams at 20. I'm going Jared Versay, the edge of the Florida State. Just too good of value, and they need help at edge anyway. And just too good of value here for Versay. That's what happens when you take a lot of weapons and you're doing a mock where six QBs must go. You get some value late for these teams. Eagles at 21. I'm going Dolphins at 21. Hold on. This is not the one that I sent in. I messed up. Hold on. Okay. Do that. Little mess up here. This is not the one I put in here. Put in the wrong one. Okay. Where's he at? It's the wrong one. Draft rankings. My fault, guys. Okay. So 21 is going to be, Tyrese Fuaga, offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Dolphins, I think, just need to get better up front. Eagles at 22 take Terrion Arnold, corner out of Alabama. Cowboys at 23 take Troy Fatanu, offensive line, Washington. It's OL because he plays guard. He can play guard or tackle, and I think the Cowboys need someone that can move around and play both positions. I think he's more of a guard, but, Zach Martin's getting older. Tyler Smith can play tackle as well. One of them can play tackle. So I like that pick. It's just a versatile offensive lineman that they need. Houston at 24 takes Chop Robinson, edge out of Penn State. Chop Robinson paired with Will Anderson. I love that. Packers at 25 go Jerzon Newton, interior D lineman out of Illinois. 26, Buccaneers go Brian Thomas, wide receiver of LSU. Get Baker some weapons. Even if you lose Mike Evans, I think it's a good pick. And I don't think they'll pay Mike Evans personally. 27, the Cardinals take Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. Again, great value with how this draft goes with this challenge. Nate Wiggins at 27 is an absolute steal. Chiefs go Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. Love that pick for them. Bills at 29 go Cameron Kitchens, safety out of Miami. Lions at 30 go Kalen Keene, corner out of Penn State. 49ers at 31 go Graham Barton, offensive tackle Duke. And the Ravens at 32 go Braylon Trice, edge out of Washington. So that is my mock draft, 11.0. Again, we're getting closer to where we'll have every week. We'll be able to have the full correct draft order and stuff like that, which I love. And we'll do more. Next week will probably be one with trades and stuff as well. So, yeah, that's going to be the end of the pod again. what a super wild card weekend. Some great games, especially over in the AFC. Chiefs, Bills, Texans, Ravens. Cannot wait for Super Wild or for the divisional round. Going to be great. UFC 297 this weekend. A lot of good college basketball. Should be a really fun week/weekend. We'll be back Thursday or Friday with KB and the boys, episode 2 of season 5. And then obviously unedited next week. It'll probably be actually out Monday because the games are Saturday, Sunday. So it'll actually be out Monday next week. But again, sorry for the scratchy throat, but got to get these pods out, and I love doing them. So I appreciate you all listening, and like I said, we'll be back Friday and then unedited Monday. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.